Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. My name is Stephen Porter Jr.
It's not my name.
Nope.
It's not my name.
It can be if you want it to be.
I'd like it to be.
Change it.
Thank you. Stephen St. John here with Nate Bucati, Jake Gutierrez, and Connell, the Irish intern, firing off some soccer tweets that I don't understand this morning.
No, I didn't see those. So, I'll read those up.
It's a very biting commentary if you'd like to follow him on Twitter. But right now, let's say hello to Gabe DeArmond.
Missouri.
They got Michael Porter Jr. Michael Porter. I'm getting tickets.
I do have tickets. Thank you, Tickets for Less. That's where you go if you need tickets to anything. And those are for the boys, though. I will be covering the game, sitting in the media section with VIPs, hobnobbing with people like Gabe DeArmond from PowerMizzou.com. Hello, Gabe. How are you?
I'm just looking forward to seeing all my media friends that haven't covered games in like 4 years come cover a game with me.
Have you,
it'll be good.
You know what? Were you are you sad now because you had it all to yourself the past 3 years? Now are you unwilling to share?
Yeah, we'll see about 8:15 tonight. I might be good for about the first 15 minutes and then get a little sour.
Don't be sour. I want you to be happy.
At least people will read what I write now, maybe.
I always read what you write. Sometimes it's after the losses when I get the most entertainment from your works. I'm sorry.
The sarcasm meter sometimes broke at times in the last 3 years, yeah.
So let's get right into it. Mizzou and Iowa State tonight. The point guard situation, I think, is interesting to watch. You've got Blake Harris, the true freshman. You've got Terrence Phillips, the veteran. But now we find out that the graduate transfer who came to Mizzou with a reputation of being a knockdown three-point shooter, he's actually going to get the start at point guard. Tell us what you think about the point guard situation at Mizzou.
Well, it's pretty interesting. I mean, first of all, I don't think, covered a coach where you said, so what's the situation at this position? And he said, well, if we had to start today, here's who I'd start. Like, most of them just kind of hem and haw around and don't really tell you. But he told us, Konzo told us that Cassius Robertson would start. And I think that's an interesting move. I think it probably says, hey, I don't quite think these other guys are ready. But then the more interesting part to me was that he went on and said, you know, Geist would probably be in there, Blake would probably be in there, but I think we'd start Cassius. Like, no mention of Terrence Phillips. I mean, I think he's going to play some, but, like, I mean, I've been telling our board for a few months, like, I think the role for him is going to be a little bit smaller than you guys expect, but to not even the fact he didn't even mention him, I don't know if that was just an oversight or what the situation is. I mean, I think Terrence will play, but that was pretty interesting.
Okay, who's the starting five going to be? And then tell me maybe the top two or three guys off the bench as far as minutes you expect to be played.
Yeah, well, if Robertson's at point, I think there's really two ways you can go. Look, Michael Porter Jr. is going to start in the front court. Jordan Barnett's going to start somewhere. And then Jeremiah Tillman's going to start. So you could put Barnett or even Porter Jr. out at the two guard and then put Kevin Purdier at the four. And, I mean, you'd have a pretty big lineup of 6'6", 6'7", 6'10", 6'10". But the other way they could go is Robertson, then the front court be Barnett, Porter, and Tillman, and Colin Van Leer at the two. That's what they started the Missouri State game with. You know, and like Missouri fans instantly kind of freaked out about it, which, first of all, I hope it happens. I think that'd be great because I would just get on our board for, like, you know, the first half of the game and probably not even watch the game, honestly. But, I mean, you have to understand, like, it's about putting the pieces of a puzzle together. It's not just about saying, okay, these are the five guys that can shoot the best. That's who I'm going to put out there. Like, and it's not remember when Missouri had its last good year in basketball, Michael Dixon, like, he was clearly one of the five best players on the team, but he was the sixth man on that team because it just worked better to have Matt Pressey out there who, you know, wasn't necessarily a shoot-a-ton, dominate-the-ball type of guy, and then bring Mike Dixon in with the second unit. Sometimes it works better that way, and I think we should at least trust Konzo Martin to make the correct moves until he is coached for 20 minutes. Now, at halftime of game one, we are free to say he's doing everything wrong. But let's give it 20 minutes.
And so to put this in context for you guys, you know, obviously the Tiger's Lair, the message board at PowerMizzou.com can be a very angry place. And it has been for basketball the last 3 years. And if, you know, anyone that was anti-Kim Anderson, one of the examples of why they're anti-Kim Anderson, look, this Cullen Van Leer, he's not a Division I player. That's an example of that. Kim Anderson doesn't know what he's doing. Recruiting's terrible. Why would you even give him a scholarship? And so that's why Gabe says if then Cullen Van Leer starts tonight, it will be... It'll be fun to watch what the reaction is at PowerMizzou.com game.
This Konzo Martin really knows what he's doing. You know what I mean?
This guy. I've always liked this kid. This kid's really got – all right, we've got to move on because we've got football to talk about as well. And so – and look, I'd ask you who's going to win tonight, but we don't know enough about Missouri. We don't know enough about Iowa State. I think it's going to be a fun game, and so we'll just leave it at that. But real quick, so before we play the first official game – official expectations. Give me where you think Mizzou will finish in the SEC. Like, just give me a number, and if you believe Missouri is a tournament team.
Yeah, I did a game by game prediction last week. I picked them 24-10 going into the NCAA tournament, which would be good for, you know, somewhere between fourth and I picked them 11-7 in the league, which would be probably around fifth place, which is exactly where they were picked. And then, you know, I think 24-10 in this league would probably get you a 6th or 7th seed. Something like that. I think that would be a good year. I think some of the expectations and Vegas odds and such are a little bit out over their skis, but it will be a disappointment if this is not an NCAA tournament team. Clearly, I mean, Missouri went all in this year. Like, you got to at least get there.
All right, Mizzou football against Tennessee. It's a big weekend down in Columbia, going for their fourth win in a row. This would put them at 500 for the season. Your thoughts on where this football team is and what you think will happen against Tennessee on Saturday night?
Well, where Missouri is right now, and I've heard Soren say this so many times listening to his show, is like all you have to do is keep losing teams losing. That's all Missouri has to do is just beat bad teams, and they're going to have a 6-game winning streak. I mean, Florida was a team. A lot of people watched that game last week and said Florida quit, and I do think Florida quit, but somebody has to make them quit. I mean, if Florida had come in here and jumped up 14-0, I don't think they'd have quit. They quit because Missouri kind of stepped on them and didn't let them up early. So that's really what they've got to do against Tennessee. I mean, believe it or not, I think Tennessee is actually worse on offense than Florida is. So, you know, it's just really hard to find a way Tennessee wins this game.
What's the score going to be, please?
I picked Missouri 41-13.
My God, I'll stay up all Saturday night if that happens. Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you very much, Gabe DeArmond from PowerMizzou.com. I will see you tonight. Please speak to me.
Absolutely, man. That's going to be the best part of the day.
Oh, boy, I'm looking forward to it. That's Gabe DeArmond. Thank you, Gabe. But now let's move on and talk about Kansas State.
Kansas State.
Let's say hello to Mr. Stan Weber. Hello, Mr. Stan Weber. How are you?
I'm doing great. Good morning.
Good morning to you as well. Again, basketball opening up. K-State takes on American, and then the football team takes on West Virginia. And so let's just start with the basketball team. What are your expectations for K-State basketball this year under Bruce Weber?
Well, I think the fact that he likes the players and that they're really pulling in the same direction makes me feel good. I know how hard it is throughout a season, and K-State's picked 8 out of 10 teams in the Big 12, so that would be just outside the NCAA tournament normally. But I think that having the 3 guys coming back who are going to be starters for the third year and be juniors, it's a young basketball team. Real questions on the inside, how are they going to get that done? That's where you're going to be limited. But I think Xavier Sneed will improve and be a really nice player for K-State, and I'm still expecting NCAA tournament. I don't know why you wouldn't start a year in college basketball without the thought, because even when you don't make it, it's just a bunch of close games that you lose. And K-State hasn't been great in close games. And if they turn that around a little bit and win their share of them, I'm still expecting an NCAA tournament. No need not to. Today's the day to be excited and optimistic.
So, real quick, Stan, you mentioned, you know, Sneed looking pretty good in the preseason and the young team. maybe give us a name or two that that we should be on the lookout for, either as a newcomer or a person you think will take a big step forward for the Cats in basketball this year.
Well, I think the guy that we should see take a big step forward would be Kamau Stokes. He's been around, been injured a little bit, and a starter for a long time. But I'm excited when we talk about basketball teams or football teams. Guys, I think the greatest improvement are the players that are already there, starters, and they take the next step. Xavier Sneed's going to take the biggest step, because I thought last year he got a little nervous and he made a mistake. He kind of shut it down and tried to avoid a mistake. He's such a good kid. But I think he'll play with fluidity now. He learned a lot from Wesley Iwundu, and he can score the basketball. But I think you go to Kamau Stokes and say, he's been good, but he hasn't been reliable. He's up and down. When he's shooting well, he'll knock down three-pointers right in your face and make a big difference. But then he might turn the ball over. He's got to clean up his game, and I would expect him to. Barry Brown, solid as can be. And I know you're looking at Dean Wade, Nate. And, you know, he's a big question mark, because which Dean Wade are we going to see? The one that has full potential and plays near that? Gosh, he could be so good. Or what we've gotten used to, which is not a great push at rebounding the basketball, not necessarily using his size, but then doing some great things here and there. And he and Kamau have both been up and down. I think Stokes will make less mistakes, be better at point guard. And then I just cross my fingers, because the upside of Dean Wade, if he really puts it together, we won't be worrying about the NCAA tournament. It'll far surpass that if he really plays up to his potential.
We have Stan Weber on the line. And Stan, let's move on to football. And, of course, Kansas State coming off that dramatic victory over Texas Tech in overtime. And now they take on West Virginia. That you can see that game on ESPN2. And so it's a big game for K-State to get win number six. And so at the end of the game, we see Skylar Thompson come in and just look terrific and help lead the team to victory. Should he be the quarterback now moving forward?
Not necessarily. If you watch the game very closely, Alex Delton looked very good in the first half, and K-State took off and had a 17-7 lead. But unfortunately, he's only played the first half of the last two games. It's kind of wild. He played the first half and got hurt right at the end of the Kansas first half, which meant Skyler came in on the first play of the third quarter, and almost exactly the same thing happens against Texas Tech. So they got each of them playing one half. I can't tell you how excited I am about Skylar Thompson. I think he's the future for K-State. He may be the present for K-State, but I think he just has so much ability, and he needs to grow and improve and fulfill it. But right now he's ready to play. Alex Delton upped his game, and he now is ready to play. So, you know, K-State has three different quarterbacks that they can go in there with, but I'm not trying to downgrade at all what you're saying or the excitement that you have about Skylar. I feel every bit of that excitement. I think he's going to be a really great quarterback. And when we look at the future of where K-State football is going to be in the next two or three years, I think he's going to be the man.
All right, let's talk about this matchup against West Virginia. This is a West Virginia team that just knocked off Iowa State. I think that this is expected to be a close game by the so-called experts out there. Tell me maybe what the most difficult challenge is of facing West Virginia right now.
They have balance in their offense. Obviously, the good quarterback, Will Grier, he's a super rated player. You know, a lot of people thought he was, parade said, he's the National High School Player of the Year a few years ago. Went to Florida, was played in six games, started five. They're 6-0, and then ran into the problems, ends up transferring to West Virginia. He's done a fine job this year, obviously throwing the football and running, pulling it down. I think a guy that's really hard to match up with is David Sills. You realize David Sills was a superstar quarterback who verbally committed to USC when he's 13 years old. It was ready to be a quarterback and then ends up not going to USC, not end up as a quarterback, went to West Virginia, actually went back to junior college, came back to West Virginia, and now he's sitting on 16 touchdown passes this year. 16 receptions for touchdown. He really is open all the time, and I think he's a hard guard. So K-State, knowing where he is, when he gets in the red zone, third down plays, even against Texas Tech, K-State had more control of that game than you think, except for they were able to get some back shoulder throws on third down and keep drives alive. And DJ Reed, the best cornerback for the Wildcats, was right there. But you guys know how hard it is to guard a perfectly thrown back shoulder pass. So David Sills is a hard person to stop. The running back, Justin Crawford, Big 12 newcomer of the year last year, is explosive in the running game. So you know, a lot of balance in their offense, and they'll be hard to stop.
So what's the prediction? What's going to happen between K-State and West Virginia?
Well, last week I was just kind of begging and saying, I hope that K-State can get confirmation of the hard work they're putting in, and the team's done a nice job of coming together. The players have rededicated themselves. If there's just some way they could get out of Texas Tech with a win, I predicted 38-37 last week. They got the job done. They won two road games in a row. I think for the first time this year, we're going to see what K-State has. I think they're going to start playing now the way closer to what people thought, and that'll be enough to beat West Virginia. I'm going K-State 30, West Virginia 27.
Thank you very much, Stan Weber. We appreciate it.
Have fun tonight, Stephen. I'll be thinking about you with the big basketball game.
You want me to text you? I'll text you from there.
Oh, absolutely. I may not be responding real quick because I'm going to be on TV doing the K-State basketball game against American, but I'm going to be thinking about you whenever I see a Missouri score. I'm going to say, I can see Stephen right there in the stands.
Thank you very much, Stan Weber. I appreciate it.
Okay, have fun this weekend.
I will. You do the same. That is Stan Weber talking K-State. Now, let's hear from John Kirby from Jayhawksland.com.
Kansas!
Hello, John Kirby. How are you?
I'm well, Stephen. How are you?
Doing good. All right, John. We were wondering if Kansas would have a legitimate shot to beat Baylor, since Baylor was winless going into last week's game, and it just didn't work out, and Baylor really dominated the game. What was your reaction to what you saw on the field against Baylor?
Well, that was disappointing. You know, that was the one game, I think, that was left on the schedule that they really had a fighting chance. And the line started at 10 in Vegas, and by the time it, you know, kicked off, it was down to 7.5. So that tells you the money all week in Vegas was going in on Kansas. And I think, Stephen, it's a week-to-week thing. So the week before against Kansas State, you saw, you know, hey, you put up 480 yards and 420 through the air. So you're thinking, okay, they've got something with Carter Stanley. And then Stanley goes out against Baylor and just, you know, he doesn't throw the ball very well. He looked like he was kind of out of sorts, didn't find many running lanes that he had the week before against Kansas State. And maybe it reminded us that there's a reason that Carter Stanley or Peyton Bender had won that job early on. I know Stanley was hurt and he couldn't throw for a few weeks. You know, I don't know. You're just kind of, you just go back week to week and figure out what's going wrong. I talked to Doug Meacham last night, the offensive coordinator for Kansas, and he said, you know, it's amazing how many times we are so close to executing a play, he said, but it's one guy almost on every play that isn't doing his job, and it's a different guy on different plays. And he's like, if this one guy would have just picked up this one blitzer, we would have had something. Or if this one guy would have pulled over and blocked the outside linebacker, we would have had a huge running lane. And he says it's almost every play he can go find something.
Can they just chalk that up to youth? I mean, how do you fix that?
Well, Nate, it's a combination of things. I mean, number one, you know, I don't know if Kansas is young, but they're still inexperienced in parts. But at some point, that inexperience has got to go away. Because when you look at the roster right now, David Beatty's playing a lot of sophomores and juniors. So next year, those guys become juniors and seniors. So that's going to be the year four, that I think David Beatty is going to be judged. Because the one thing that he hasn't had, he has not had his own senior class. Well, this coming next year will be the first year that he has a senior class. And next year, he's going to point to a lot of juniors and seniors in the lineup, and I think, you know, I know he's got a 5-year deal that started this year, but I think next year is going to be that year that you look at David Beatty and say, okay, a lot of these kids have been in his program now 4 years, and he's upper class here, so what can we do? Can you see some progress?
There's a couple of injuries they're dealing with going into this game against Texas. I know that David Beatty announced that Carter Stanley and Mike Lee, his starting quarterback, and then maybe one of his most reliable defensive players, are questionable for this game on Saturday. What's the latest on those two? I mean, they don't need any more adversity going into this game than they already have, right?
Well, Nate, it's those two guys, and then your other starting corner, Shaq Taylor. I mean, he was pretty banged up. He went out of the game last week, and he didn't go back to play. And again, you know, once you lose Taylor and Lee, you're already talking about it. Now, that is a young and inexperienced secondary. now you're without two of your starters. And, I mean, when I saw Lee go down and the way he came off the sidelines, and then I saw Taylor and what they were working on over there, I'm just telling you, if I was a betting guy, I would say their chances of playing are slim and none this week. Now, I don't know that for sure, which is really going to change the dimension of that secondary. Because the very first play, Shaq Taylor came out, they put Kyle Mayberry in, and they went right after him and completed like a 35-yard pass on top of him. So, well, I'll tell you, it's a depleted secondary, and there's a lot of injuries on that defense right now.
All right, John Kirby, what's the score going to be?
Oh, Stephen, you know, this thing's in Austin, and Texas is going to remember what happened last year, and Texas' defense is pretty good. So, you know, I don't see Kansas scoring a lot in this one. I'll say Texas 34, Kansas 7.
John Kirby, thank you for the time.
All right, guys, take care.
That's John Kirby. So thank you to Gabe DeArmond, Stan Weber, and John Kirby. That is your Border Patrol Blitz, taking another step towards becoming the Border Patrol Fast Break before you know it. Up next, we're going to talk to Myron Metcalf, who's going to be part of the broadcast crew for the Mizzou-Iowa State game tonight at Mizzou Arena. Back after this on WHB.